Mambo vipi? What's happening? My name is Anyiko Owoko and I am a lover of arts, culture and everything African. And here, we grant you front row access to your favorite celebrities, creators, the biggest personalities and industry experts. Come with me. You're now a VIP.
Welcome to VIP Access. I'm super excited and I'm so happy because I'm having an international guest on the show this week. She hails from Nairobi, Kenya. She's a baddie. She's actually badder than your average baddie. So it's such an honor to have such a bad chick, you know, doing her thing globally and in Kenya too. Madam DJ, music producer, visual artist, Coco M. Welcome to VIP Access.
Thank you. She made me blush.
Oh, can
you
see it? I see the blush.
First of all, you're
such a beauty.
Thank you.
I love to see a woman, female DJ, and she's a baddie. I love it.
Thank you so much. And I'm saying the same for you. First of all, jewelry game on fleek.
I did it for Coco. You know, I was just like, Coco is simple, but Coco has a vibe and a style. So I'm glad you like.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, a bit of a busy day, but I need to come here.
Busy life.
Sure, you could say that, honestly. Yeah.
I'm actually so lucky that you're in Nairobi right now because you're always constantly touring. Before we get into the touring, I just love you so much. And I think I got introduced to you via your debut music project, Kilumi, which came out in 2022.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was so fresh. First of all, there was like a Luo song over there. And I thought you were Luo. Then I came to realize you are not. And that's what even made me so interested in you. Then I started discovering you and started discovering that Coco loves instruments, traditional sounds, mashing different sounds, but especially African sounds. And I found that very interesting, even for you to have a single with two Luo rappers. That really drew me. And I was like, I need to hear more Luo rap in dance songs or Afro house or electronic beats. So that was really cool.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I think from then onwards, you've just been so kind. You know, we started communicating and never stopped. And then I started following your journey. And then I saw you just leave and tour internationally, go to all these major stages. And it's been so impressive. And I just wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you.
For doing what you love to do, but also being such a wonderful ambassador of Africa and Kenya particularly. It's such a proud thing to see you do you internationally. I mean, that's all Kenyans speak about. When will Kenyans go global?
When will Kenyans?
But here are Kenyans going global. So let's take our time to celebrate them. And I take my time to celebrate you this week on this podcast.
Thank you so much. I feel like once we were done mixing that album, I was like, I need to learn Luo one time because there was that song. Then there was a song with Labdi called Pesa.
Yes.
I was like, Luo just sounds so good, whether it's romantic or like.
And also,
when
she
you're
sang,
rapping.
I think it's like an old song.
I think it's like a happy song
and it's sung at many Luo functions. I know I've heard it in shags.
That's interesting. It was such a joy to work with all the people that I collaborated with on that project. And when you mentioned my love for instruments, I'm particularly drawn to the drums and percussions. So every song I have must have somewhere a drum. Or like a shaker, kayamba, something like this, because I feel like I resonate towards the rhythmic elements of a song before anything else. And then I go to, what do you say? But like, I like
that's
to
dope. You're such a DJ because in that way you can also pick some of those elements you love and then see where to DJ them when you're having a live set, I would assume. That's dope.
That's really dope. Thank you.
And the project did quite well, I must say, and continues to do well. I particularly wanted to ask you about a song that you collaborated with like an older female vocalist from the Kamba tribe.
Yes.
I think I read something you talked about how important that was for you.
Finding this track happened during the pandemic. It's labeled as Kilamu Online.
Is it not the title track?
The title is Kilume.
Kilume.
So it's like a little spin-off of what it was originally named. And I remember hearing these vocals. So they came from a series of field recordings that had been held inside the Smithsonian Museum, Folkways Museum. And I bought the album solely because of this one track. And I just couldn't stop listening to it. And up until then, I didn't even realize that some other people had sampled this particular voice of Ndunge Wakalele. We're not sure whether she's alive. We're not sure, you know, whether any of her family are still alive. Trying to get permissions to use this in my music actually took 2 years of me emailing the museum, trying to find out who owned the rights to this music, trying to get in touch with the person who recorded this music. And finally, just before the album dropped, they finally communicated with us and said that it was okay. They could give us like the permissions to use it. And I wanted to leave it the way it was because, first of all, it's just so beautiful. I'm very intrigued by soloists worldwide, but like particularly women soloists. I don't know what it is about the voice. I try to sing and I have to like warm up for 25 minutes and still it's just like not giving.
Yeah.
But they can just like belt out just the most incredible notes, you know, off the bat. Just like you're dancing with people and then all of a sudden somebody just like ululates.
Yeah,
or just like
it's yells powerful. Out.
Yeah. And that voice really, really struck me. And so it kind of was the driving force for the whole project as well.
Nice.
I was hoping to just gain access to anybody who was related to Ndunge or like to gain more information around soloist culture in my own community.
Yeah, which is Kamba community.
Yes, Kamba
community.
You
really do look like a Luo though.
Yeah.
We will take you.
Yeah, somebody walk up to me and speak in Kijaluo. I was like, what are you saying? Then I'm like,
because especially
you
after that EP, they're like, yeah, we had that song.
I am by spirit. I'm a Luo. Yes. So it drove the project forward in that the power that Ndunge was bringing with just that voice, just her voice alone, because there's no instruments in that particular recording. It's just her and somebody who is kind of giving ad-libs in the back. Mm. And the song itself is a lullaby. I was told it was a lullaby song. So Lulai is like just, yeah, hush, hush, my baby. And then in the back, the person giving the ad-libs is screaming like a baby. So they're like, wah, wah. So it was, first of all, just very interesting, very exciting to listen to, but also very cool to learn more about. And I learned more about it when I played it for my mom, actually. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's dope. That's like bringing back almost forgotten past and sound and individual. This Ndunge. Ndunge. The way to say it.
Yes.
So, from which year was she? Do we even know?
It's from the 60s. Okay. I'm going to confirm this, but it says the recordings were obtained in the 60s. Yeah, yeah. The field recordings were obtained
Thank
in
you
the
for
60s.
That. Thank you for that. How has it been, like, you know, just living life, you know, as a DJ, touring, and, you know, you're also a visual artist and are responsible for your visual sometimes. So how has it been doubling that between Nairobi and various cities around the world, especially Europe?
Yeah, I will say this being the second year that we are learning how to, I'll say we are learning how to tour as we tour.
If Coco M is learning, I don't know what you all are doing. Because that's one of the reasons why I wanted you here. I was like, Coco needs to tell us, tell Kenyan artists specifically, or African artists, how you penyad into Europe, because it's not easy.
Yeah.
You might not be where you want to be, but you really have done well for yourself so far. I'm telling you. And I always say, like, when you see someone like have this train doing this, you know, maybe there's something works for them that you can learn from, and it might work for you. You don't have to tour everywhere, but you know, you've had like over 40 shows in a span of 2 years. That's not easy, Coco. Like, there are people who gig thrice a year, you know, because you know, it's like Nyashinsky gigs like 3 or 4 times a year, but also he's a different kind of artist. But if someone was the artist who wants to gig many times, like Coco, it's still not easy. Like,
I would say the first tour is actually the most important one. And it's actually the one you have to make the investment more on your own, because paying for flights now is mandatory for a lot of artists outside of the Schengen area. If you're looking to travel to Europe, they used to pay for flights back before COVID, but a lot of festivals suffered after COVID.
Yes.
And their budgets were slashed. So they give priority to people who are already in Europe. And so just paying for that flight to get out there is your first step. The second thing is to make sure you get at least 3 shows that are your anchor shows, right? So you try and get anybody you know who's running festivals. More often than not, they start booking 6 months out. So if you know you want to go in June, start talking to people now.
Whoa.
start talking to people now, email them your mixes, email them your show. Like, say, if it's a live show and you have a recording, email it to them early in advance and just keep pestering them until they tell you either no or, you know, fine, let's check you out or let's find a slot for you. Because they're promoters, they have many shows, they need to fill those slots, right?
Of course.
So sometimes you do yourself a disservice if you just hold on to your staff or if nobody knows about you.
Or
right?
if you don't even follow up and assume that they must get back to you. Maybe
exactly.
they're busy.
People are so busy. So just like send polite reminders or just keep updating them on your journey or anything new that you have, right? So that should be able to secure you at least one show. Which you can now start to build a second and a third show around. Third is to be involved in community, because then you know a friend who knows someone in Amsterdam who has a room or like who runs a small club night even. And you can add that club night or pitch yourself to that club night and keep adding it now. Just stack those shows up, whether they're big or like super small, whether it's a birthday party or you're playing in the museum, no one even cares you're there, you're there in the corner, it's fine, it's a show. Just start stacking them up. But the trick is to do it very early in advance, especially if you don't have an agent, because at least the agents know the shows to hit up, when to hit them up, what the shows are looking for, so they can tell you this is not a good fit for you, this is a good fit for you. When I was starting out, you just play everything, basically, whether it's you just play. And then in that way, once you have your foot out, then you start to meet people or people start to come to your shows and check you out, because you don't know who is checking you out, honestly. I've played shows where it's like six people, and from there, the programmer of a very big festival was actually accidentally just in the club, just looking at new talent. They love to do that. So it's always good to give your best at every show that you play, regardless of how many people turn up. Yeah, so that's one of the few tips. I think it's a big process.
Yeah.
I'm just summarizing.
It's a whole process. I like that, you know, you broke it down. You're just like, it's not just an agent or just getting yourself there, but it's a whole process. You know, you gotta keep stacking them up and just gotta keep giving the best show, because you don't know who's watching.
Exactly.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. That's a lot for me. Even I've learned so much. I mean, if someone comes to me, I'll just go listen to Coco on my podcast. What have been some of your favorite shows?
Yeah. Okay. I would say playing Fabric London, and it was curated by Desiree, who's from SA, right? So power moves, first of all. And they curated myself and Floyd Levine for this night. And I was opening the room, actually. And I remember just being like, by the time this room is full, it will be 2 hours in. And literally, I started playing and 20 minutes in that room was full.
Wow.
And I was just like, yeah, this is wild. Let's go. Let's just go where we're going. And it was such a nice night. Floyd and Desiree are such amazing people to be around and to play with. So it felt very nice and cozy. And also just the fact that there was not so much pressure to perform per se. I would say opening sets are still some of my favorite sets, because it allows me to get into my groove. When I'm thrown like midnight, it's like, all right, now you have to hold on to this gig. Like, make sure people don't go. So you just come in with so much pressure and expectation. So I feel like that was part of the reason why I really enjoyed myself. So you can start anywhere. You can start even with the national anthem. It's fine. But wherever you end up, you warm the space up for the next act and the next act. So that was one of my favorites. And then playing with Lab D and Bant in Norway for Club Unganisha. Actually, because I travel, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but part of the reason why these tours are very successful is because I travel with the most amazing tour manager, Justin Doucet, who's also my partner.
That's
so dope. It really helps to just move around with somebody.
That's dope.
I feel like also just knowing how to network with people, knowing how to talk to people, because I'm a very somewhat reserved person. I'm an introvert extrovert, where when I'm playing, I'm out there. When we are done, it's like with the tenor.
Yeah. So it's important to have somebody, you know, by your side. They might not be your agent or tour manager. It could be your partner who happens to be your tour manager, because it's tour management, essentially.
Exactly.
And if it's somebody in the industry, even better, because then they understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah. It's a power team.
Thank you.
My Beyonce and Jay. Obviously, you're the Beyonce. Sorry, Justin. Yeah, that's really cool. I wanted to say some of my favorite shows of Coco, and I haven't seen so many, is like Boiler Room and most recently the Spotify Colors event in Nairobi, because I saw how you had your own energy and it was changing and you were going with the crowd. I love that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy being out at concerts and festivals sometimes to also see the mood of the people, to see the people enjoying themselves, to see if they're paying attention. And I remember you played some hip hop, you played some like electronic music. Then there was like even some R&B. There was like even Craig David.
The assignment.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, she's so bold. I'm like, tumetoka hip hop, tukaenda R&B, Craig David. You know, and you're just there confident. And then everybody was vibing with you. I just found that so amazing. Like you carried us to places and it worked, you know, because there's this traditional idea that a DJ must play what the people want, and what the people want is to dance to one genre or I don't know, and that's what you have to give them the whole night. So it's just a breath of fresh air to experience a DJ like you are, because you really are one of one, and I really, really enjoy you and your music, and keep up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I saw you in the crowd.
Yeah, and you were bigging me up on the DMs. Like, oh, I saw you at my show. Like, yes, Coco saw me.
Yes.
I literally came to see you and Blinky.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I feel like you're only starting to play more and more in Kenya, or are you playing a lot in Kenya and around the continent and we don't know?
Not really. Okay. You're right. Yeah. I used to play quite a bit before COVID. I had a residency in Alchemist.
Dope.
I was playing at Backyard. Muse sometimes would book me. But after COVID, like, the shows just got less and less. But also, I feel like, my fee kind of, you know, jumped up little bit.
Of course.
I was playing, most nights for free and it was just not working out anymore.
It needs to make sense, especially when it's that tasking. You know, nightlife is fun, but to an extent, you could get tired or you will get tired if you're playing the whole night and not sleeping.
Exactly, and it takes quite a bit of prep before. So there's the element that people don't see, the prepping for the event, just even getting there, setting yourself up. As a woman, sometimes I used to play alone and, you know, just you have the most credulous characters in a space and you have to deal with all of this stuff that nightlife comes with. It just has to make sense. It has to be safe for you. It has to at least be able to sustain you. Otherwise, I would have been back just juggling. You know, I had a job. I was working at Nation Media. Then after, you know, you clock out, you run out to the club. It was becoming a bit
the hustle. I love it. I love it. We are all hustling in one way or another. And one challenge, you know, leads you to a different opportunity. Like now touring globally, maybe that's not what you set out for, or maybe it's what you set out for, but I love it for you.
Thank you.
And I think it is even making a lot of Kenyans and Africans, you know, look at Coco and be like, oh, we need to have Coco. You know, she was all over and she's in Nairobi. And I love that.
Yeah.
I wonder why that sometime how a lot of people blow up in the African market and Kenya particularly. But for me, I'm just like, whatever, man, as long as you still book her and as long as she's still successful, we're all happy at the end.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So you talked about being a journalist and that's the thing we didn't talk about. Like your previous life was actually as a photographer and a videographer.
Yeah.
How was that? And do you miss it? Do you still want to do it or no time?
I miss the thrill of the job that I had at Nation. But anytime I go near them, I'm like, hey, this is where I lived. Hey, this is rough. Yeah, because I was covering a lot of politics.
Oh, really?
And, you know, everyday happenings, like, you know, something happened here, somebody hit someone here.
So you just get an assignment from your editor.
Exactly. You never really know what's going to happen. So that adds to the thrill. And honestly, you can do it at a certain age in your life. And then after that, it's just mateso.
Yeah.
Yakujita. It's quite tough. But I had an amazing team that I was working with. Of course, we had our challenges, but it was such great experience. It helped me learn about Kenya more. I honestly was one of those people who never even went to, like, you can't even walk down the road to the kiosk. Mm. Now you're just thrown to the deep end. And you understand the different dynamics that make up Kenyans and just all of the issues we have, all of the beauty we have. And you have this job of, like, bringing out stories in a very honest way. So it was a very big and honorable task for me to have at the time.
That's so nice.
Yeah. I really appreciate that time. And then I was simultaneously training to be a DOP with Jinjain Films and One Fine Day Productions. And I'm very fortunate to be able to take on one or two jobs. I'm actually been working with this amazing couple, Chris and Maya.
Oh, I love them. I love them so much. We did PR for their film, The Letter. Yeah,
they are so amazing.
They have two very amazing
projects coming out. And yeah, currently.
Yeah, they've been working on something for Book Bank.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, that's one of
okay.
the ones. Yeah,
maybe when it's out, we'll talk again. Yeah. You come back to the podcast.
Yeah. They did a bit of shooting with them.
That's dope. So, Coco, videographer, DOP, coming back like she never left.
Coco, thank
you so much. And I was telling you that I just love how you've been able to, you know, do you at an international level despite all the challenges. I'm sure it's not been easy, but you make it look easy. So thank you so much for opening doors for women, especially. We don't have so many female DJs, but once we have Coco M, you know, you're a light, and a lot of women and young girls look at you and want to be like Coco and see this is possible. But you've also opened the opportunity and space and possibility also to males. So I thank you for that, and I wish you all the best as you continue to tour the world and make films and teach and say hi to Santuri East Africa team.
Yes,
you all are doing amazing things. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Aniko, for having me. I've been seeing your work, and I've actually always wanted to work with you, but I was like, ni tatosha be kweli.
How tatosha si kweli international show. No but pressure.
You're doing such amazing work for African creatives all over. It was such a pleasure to have you on PassPass as well.
We didn't even talk about PassPass. Next time. I mean, just follow Coco. If you follow Coco on social media, you'll get to know who Coco is about and the things she speaks out against, especially artists having trouble getting visas. That is something Coco is very vocal about, and it really sucks when you're barred from traveling or missed shows because of visas. So
imagine?
That's one thing I think Africans and creators especially, we need to keep advocating for. It just doesn't make sense. And sometimes even to certain African countries, let alone European countries.
And currently, as we speak, actually, you've just reminded me, I'm supposed to be on a plane to Reunion Island right now. It's gone. That's how my show has gone. And I've known about this show for, 6 months, trying to get a visa from the French embassy. For a month and a half, apparently they're fully booked. But it's okay.
Okay.
It's all right.
That really, really pains me.
And it's like not only for artists, just like pushing for freer movement for all of us all over the place. Like, honestly, it shouldn't be that hard.
Black fast.
Surely.
Yes. Black fast.
And fast. Yeah. Anyways.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I love you so much. Thank you everybody who's been listening. VIP Access this week, our special guest is Coco M from Nairobi, Kenya. Catch her touring or performing or taking over worldwide stages in whatever city you are. Follow Coco M on social media, and please go and stream her debut album, Kilumi, very soon. She'll come to you with maybe a movie or another album, right?
Another album.
Yes. Thank you, my love.
Thank you
so much. Thank you. VIP Access Season 4 is proudly supported by the Australian High Commission.